What's going on, everyone? This is the My Aggie Nation podcast. We got a special one coming today as Texas A&M hires Jim Schlossnagel as the new head baseball coach for the Aggies. We have Ben Carruthers, a former TCU second baseman that played under Jim Schlossnagel, to talk a little bit about his coaching philosophy. We also have myself, Travis Brown, and Alex Miller of the Eagle to break down the hire and what A&M fans can expect from Coach Schlossnagel moving forward. But first, let's hear from my conversation with Ben Carruthers. I'm here with Ben Carruthers, former TCU second baseman, also an employee of the Texas A&M University IMG. I'll let you explain it all because it's all great. But he's here down in the Houston College Station area working for A&M. Also played for new A&M head coach Jim Schlossnagel. Ben, what's going on, man?
Hey, how are you, T. Brown?
Doing good. Hey, so let's just get right to it. I know fans are going to want to know what it's like to be a player for Jim Schlossnagel. What do you remember from your time playing for him, and what can A&M fans expect to expect from him?
Oh man, well, first off, I've got three little girls at home with me. I work from home, so apologize if there's any shouting or anything like that. But so I played for Coach Schloss from 2005 to 2009. Played for him for 4 years. Awesome coach, obviously, with his track record at TCU, what he did with the program. Obviously his name is always mentioned in big time hirings just because of his success. My time with him, I just remember it being great, being a lot of great memories on and off the field. I was kind of looking back and reading his bio that 12thman.com put out, just about kind of his career, where it started. And it's crazy that, he started as a head coach, like when he was like 30 years old. And so he was extremely young, and was coaching guys that were not too much younger than he was. And so I think he's always had that drive and that expectation in himself to be great. Whenever I stepped foot on campus in Fort Worth in the fall of 2005, it was always about Omaha. It was Omaha, Omaha, Omaha. And, being a 18-year-old, 19-year-old, bright-eyed kid, like, what is Omaha? What is this? And so that was always the expectation, was to get to the College World Series and get there and win. I was lucky enough to be a part of a team that didn't make it to Omaha, made it one game away, lost in Austin in the Super Regional to University of Texas. But then the next year, they went down to Austin and they beat Texas to get to their first College World Series in 2010. So just a ton of life lessons that were taught using the game of baseball, but have luckily carried over into my professional career, my family life. And I always, a lot of very, very simple things, but things that make a huge difference. Using the game of baseball to kind of look at life as a whole. In game of baseball, he always told us there's so many things that you can't control. You can have a great at bat and hit a ball on the nose right at the center fielder and you're 0-for-1, right? Or if you're a pitcher, you can make a perfect pitch exactly in the spot you want, and a guy can hit it off the end of the bat and fall in for a single, right? There's so many things that you can't control, but he taught all of us from the moment we stepped on campus that the two things that you can't control are your energy and your efforts. And I carry that into my everyday life of, man, if I have a great attitude going into whatever it is, whether it be making dinner at night or, getting up to do a workout that I don't want to do, or making another sales call, or, doing whatever, if I have a great attitude, then that's going to carry over into my energy, which if I have that off the charts, man, those are the two things, energy and effort. If I always have a great attitude and always have a ton of energy, I'm going to be successful no matter what I do. And that's kind of how we played, as TCU, as I kind of look back at my time there in 2006 was our first year in the Mountain West Conference. We had a pretty good team. We had a lot of guys that probably weren't recruited to big time programs. Now, we did have Jake Arrieta, we did have Matt Carpenter. So you're kind of saying like, well, what are you talking about? But, you know, those two guys aside, we have a lot of guys that, you know, maybe Texas wasn't looking at, A&M wasn't looking at. And he really made us play, or he taught us and told us that, hey, you know, you have an opportunity to outwork every single person at all of these different programs. And the work that you put in while no one else is watching, the work that you put in the fall, the reason we're getting up at 4 a.m. to work out, the reason that we're pushing ourselves the way that we are, is so whenever we get into these situations between the lines, we're prepared and we're going to give it everything that we have. And we can look back then and say, we might not have won, but we gave it everything that we had. And we had, you know, gave tremendous energy, gave a tremendous effort. And that really carried on through my 4 years to where we hosted a regional my senior year. Like I said, we went down to Austin and were one game away. I think we lost that game three, 4-1, 4-2, you know, played really well. And obviously that carried over into 2010. And then I think it was 14 through 17, four straight College World Series or somewhere around there. So, I mean, it's crazy to think back that, man, that was 16 years ago that I was freshman in college. But those same core values and same core principles are with Coach Schlosh. I know they are because I watch how the team plays. You know, it's all about playing for the name on the front and not the name on the back. He taught us all how to be excellent teammates, to always pick up your teammates, you know, always play till the 27th out, till the last pitch. But always take it one pitch at a time, right? Because baseball is one of those funny games that things can turn in an instant. And you can't ever get two up. You can't ever get two down. And I'll share just a few stories with you about my time there. I was, whenever we had connected and you said, asked me to join you, I was thinking about some of the, some great times that I had with Coach Schlosh, and a couple of them stick out. Both of them actually from my sophomore year. As a freshman, I didn't play a whole lot. I wasn't ready. I just physically was not ready to play. I was very overmatched. I could always play defense, and that's kind of what got me in the lineup and kept me in the lineup. But offensively, I was just small, and just wasn't ready for the competition level. And so going into my sophomore year, I got in the weight room a lot more, started to pay attention a little bit more to my diet. I'll get into that too. But we played in South Carolina, went to Myrtle Beach, played a tournament against Coastal Carolina, played against NC State, played against Notre Dame, and played against, I think, UNC Wilmington. We had a terrible, terrible showing. Coastal Carolina just smoked us. Notre Dame beat us. UNC Wilmington beat us. And in the very last game, we played NC State, which NC State was probably the best team that we played that weekend. And we beat them. We beat them like 3-1. I went like 1-for-3. Had a really nice sacrifice bunt. I was really trying to bunt. I batted ninth, played second base. And this was right around the time that text messaging started to really pick up, right?
Because we're old.
Yeah, real old, yeah. And I was feeling okay, but I also knew that, man, I struggled offensively, struggled. And Coach Schlosh sent me a text after the NC State game. We were in the hotel. I think we were getting ready to go to the airport or doing something. I don't know. But sent me a text message and said, hey, great job this weekend. Really good game. Get in the weight room tomorrow. Get a lift in and rest because we're going to need you the rest of the season. Something like that. Something to that effect of that he showed me that he trusted me and believed in me and what I could do. And like I said, I didn't play my freshman year. And so that really gave me a lot of confidence to really see like he noticed that I've been putting in a lot of work and been trying really hard and the results might not have been there. He saw it in me that they were coming. And then later on that season, we went to Colorado Springs to play Air Force in a series that the first game, I think, was like 5.5 hours long. It snowed and sleeted. Mm-hmm. It was terrible weather. But before that game, he called me into his hotel room and had gone over all my stats and had noticed that if I walked one more time out of 8 at-bats, it would raise my on-base percentage by like 90 points or something like that. And I was really sitting there thinking like, I can't, you really went through all this stuff just to tell me to walk one more time in eight at bats. And that game that we played, I think I walked once, got hit once, and then hit a home run on a pitch that he told me was coming. And so that kind of set the stage for the rest of my TCU career, at least, that showed me I can be doing a lot more on my own to prepare, because Coach Schloss, who's not even playing, is feeding me all this information. Just showed me how much he's doing away from the field when nobody else is watching. And it really did like set the stage and show me that, you know what, he pushed us real hard, and he's going to continue to push people real hard because he expects a lot out of everyone, and he's not satisfied ever, which is awesome. But also is that you always got a little bit more in you. You can always do a little bit more. You can always watch a little bit more film. You can always, you know, hit the weights a little bit harder. You can always eat a little bit better to get you to that next level, because there's always somebody out there that is trying to take your spot. And that kind of leads me into another thing that he always pushed competition. It was all about competing with your teammates at practice, competing with yourself to try to get better. It was just, and it kind of was this constant playing with a chip on your shoulder that went back to, hey, TCU was not, when I played TCU, is not what TCU is now. We were good. Don't get me wrong. We won four straight conference championships. But when we would go up against the big boys, the A&Ms on Tuesday and, you know, the Oklahomas on Tuesday and all that, you know, we were coming up short a lot of the time. And it was always, hey, we're going after them. And he turned TCU into a program that had the target on its back every single game. And you saw that a lot when you would watch TCU play against teams on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night, and you got teams' best pitchers. I remember we would always go play Dallas Baptist. And Dallas Baptist would always pitch their ace against us. That's how much they thought of us. That's how much they wanted to beat us. And so, you know, kind of bringing it full circle, he's an unbelievable coach. He's an unbelievable person. He has every player's back, no matter what. And what's really cool is that, so my wife and I, we had twin girls back in 2016, and they're probably 6 months old, and he sends me a text message. He's like, when are you bringing your girls over to see me? And I was like, man, that, you know, and so we brought him over there, and he put those 4 years in college, obviously, is all about getting to Omaha. But after you graduate, he's still in your life, and he's still rooting you on. He's still telling you how much, you know, how proud he is of you. He's just an overall awesome guy. I think he's going to fit in very well. He's going to bring his own style to A&M. But that style is going to fit in very nicely, in the SEC. And I'm really happy for him. I hate to see him go from TCU, because obviously that's where I went. I played for him. But really, really happy for him that he's getting the opportunity to go to an elite program that A&M is. And selfishly working for the multimedia I told her at Learfield IMG College, I think he's going to bring a lot of success to the program. And be, you know, put a team out on there that the fans, the 12th man, is going to be really, really proud to watch play.
There's one key point, and go full disclosure for those watching. I was a bullpen catcher on the team in 2007 with Ben, the little socially awkward freshman that kind of like distanced himself from everyone. But that's a whole nother story. But the thing that stuck out to me from all the baseball programs I had been a part of coming there is something that you kind of touched on a little bit. And it's a sports cliche to go into controlling the controllables and all that stuff. But the emphasis at that time that he put into the psychology of and bringing in guys like Brian Kane and doing things like that was just so foreign to me at the time, and kind of revolutionary a little bit, at least, or cutting edge for those guys then. And it just seems like, as you look forward through not only the time that you were playing and the time that, but the times that A&M was playing TCU in those super regionals and in Omaha, and they were getting beat every time, it just looked like a lot of times TCU was the mentally stronger team. And how much do you see as just that mental toughness as a key identity of Jim Schlossnagel's teams?
Yeah. I mean, it was something for me too. That was brand new. And Brian King came in my freshman year, and started working with us. You know, and really visualization, Visualizing yourself having success, visualizing yourself also failing and how you're going to act. A pretty cool story. You know, we were right when I was at TC, we were right on the cusp of hosting a regional. You know, we made it to a regional final my sophomore year, got beat by Rice, who was like the number two overall seed. We went to Stillwater my junior year and got beat ultimately by Oklahoma State, and Jordy Mercer hit three home runs in one game. We were right on the cusp of hosting a regional, and we've all seen the numbers of when you host a regional, you have an 80% chance of winning, and then you host Super Regional, all that stuff. So, I mean, hosting a regional is the pathway to Omaha, right? And so that was our goal, was we need to host regional. And with through the visualization, he actually had us recording that Chuck LaMandola did of his call of us beating LSU in a super regional and going to the College World Series for the first time. He made us sit in our clubhouse and close our eyes and listen to that call and listen to that feeling and listen to what that would be like, because that's how close we were, and that's how much he knew that that's how close we were. And so it also goes into his preparation is out of this world. You know, I've already told you about, you know, him looking at my stats and saying, hey, if you walk one more time, you know, you have could have lead to this many more runs. But I mean, just being prepared for every single situation. You know, we would listen, he would blast crazy music during practice sometimes to distract us so we could block all that out and focus on the game. And it's like, what are you doing? Well, when you go to Austin in game three of a super regional, that's what it's like being the road team, is you're getting all kinds of stuff yelled at you. There's, you know, not necessarily bad stuff, but there's a lot of distractions that you have to face. And he was so focused on blocking all that out and focusing on the next pitch. That's all that matters, is the next pitch. And it was all about preparation, all about that mentality and just psychologically getting yourself into that position already. So when you are in that position of reality, you're comfortable, right? You get super uncomfortable during practice. Practice is you always say, it's not our time, it's his time, right? Practice is his time. The games are our time. The games are when we get to have fun. Practice is supposed to make you uncomfortable. Practice is supposed to push you to that limit to whenever you get into the game, it's like clockwork because you've done it before. And so, you know, another one of my favorite things that he always said is he liked guys that love to practice. And
those practices were
long practices, snow. We practice in snow. We practice in rain. We practice in a lot of uncomfortable situations. And my brother's a college basketball coach, University of Ozarks, Division III. And I always told him that, you know, the thing I miss most about pretty much all sports, but especially baseball, is practicing. I used to love practicing. I used to love, you know, inter squads. They were terrible. They were 10 hours long, right? But I loved it because it was getting us ready for the game. And again, I talked about how he was preparing us for life. Man, there's a lot of stuff in everyday life that you don't want to do. And a lot of it is preparing to do the next thing. But if you prepare and prepare and prepare, then when you get in the heat of the moment, you get in that battle, you're ready to go. It's just, you've already done it because you've been preparing for it. And so, yeah, those practices used to be, they used to long practices.
And here's full disclosure. So Ben and all those guys were out just busting their butts, doing, you know, ground ball after ground ball. I was in the bullpen and I had probably caught like my sixth consecutive bullpen at that time and forgotten to eat lunch because I was a freshman. So I was back there with my phone texting one of my fraternity brothers to come slip me chicken fingers through the fence at the, so they're the athletes. I was eating chicken fingers in the bullpen. So that's always a great thing to relive and remember. But well, yeah. Go a little bit, if you don't mind, as we kind of wrap things up here, a little bit into what you're doing now with in conjunction with A&M. And kind of what you maybe project to see Coach Schloss Nagel too with this A&M program, what he can do in the SEC. So you and then Schloss.
Yeah, sure. So so I work for Learfield IMG College. We're the multimedia rights holders for over 200 colleges and universities across the country. I work for Texas A&M specifically. So what we do as a company is we connect companies to the 12th man through strategic in-venue signage, digital and social elements. You know, our radio network is vast. It's across the country, hospitality. Anything that any way a company wants to try to reach Texas A&M fans is what we do. So we do that across all the sports. So anything inside Kyle Field, at Blue Bell Park, Reed Arena, that's what we do. So I'm lucky that I get to work in a business that is sports related and get to talk sports pretty much all day. And, you know, as from the outside looking in, sorry, there's someone at my door coming inside right now. So, I get to continue in sports, and very, very lucky, to do so. And as an outsider, you know, playing Texas A&M on a Tuesday night and seeing just how crazy the 12th man is, and seeing all of the awesome traditions as an outsider, I was like, man, you know, this is cool, but I don't really know about it. Now that I'm a part of it and, you know, really a part of it, it is an unbelievable institution, college, university, and athletic department with unbelievable leaders. I'm very, very fortunate to be in the position I am. And so as we transition kind of into Schlosh, I obviously am very biased. I think he's the best coach in America. So I think he's going to have a lot of success. But obviously, you know, baseball, as we've seen, especially college baseball, I mean, it's extremely hard to win. Every team is really, really good. And there's so many things that you can't control, right? As we saw, you know, this past weekend, national seeds and teams that are hosting regionals are going down, and teams that, you know, were probably not even given a shot are now playing in super regionals. And then you've got your programs that have been there forever. And it's like, hey, whenever the season comes out, you can kind of mark in a couple teams to already get to Omaha because you know that they're going to be that good. So it's definitely going to be challenging. I mean, the SEC is good in everything, every sport. There's no question about that. So I know that Schlosh is going to have those guys extremely well prepared. He's going to put them through an unbelievable fall schedule. But along with that too, he's going to have the expectation that they are good, really good people. And that, you know, doesn't begin on the baseball field, right? It begins in the classroom, it begins in the community. You know, some of the things that he's done in his time that probably haven't got a whole lot of attention. Obviously with Micah, the things that he did with Micah while at TCU, and you know, I just Google TCU baseball Micah, and you'll see just how awesome that everything that he did with Mike and his family is. But also, I think it was probably 2013 or 14 when tornadoes hit Oklahoma and TCU was on their way to the Big 12 tournament. I think their game got rained out or something. He loaded all the players up on the bus. They went and got water and supplies and drove them down to, I think it was Moore, Oklahoma, and delivered all that stuff. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know about Coach Schlosh right there, is that he's thinking of other people first. He understands that what he's doing is much larger than baseball. He's developing young men and young leaders. And so I think that that's ultimately what Texas A&M got, is a great coach, but an unbelievable person.
My favorite story to tell of the time I got to spend with the team was actually getting to travel to Old Olson Field on a Tuesday night in 2007. And I'm, you know, coach tells me to run down there and warm up to get Jake Arrieta going for his midweek pen. So yeah. I'm catching Jake down there. And that's when the bullpens were actually on the baseline. They had the bleachers and these two, you know, Raggy fans who, of course, A&M has great fans are over here just in my ear. Hey man, what, who are you? Why aren't you in the roster? Who are you? Just whatever. And I'm blocking them out, whatever. So finally they disappear. They go down there. Jake's throwing. Then all of a sudden I see him peer by Jake and they just say one thing to him. And he kind of stops and he looks at me and he looks at them. And he looks at me, says something to them, and they're back, "Hey, Travis, blah, blah, blah." So he just totally sold me out to the A&M fans. Right. And it's a testament to how good they get in on that. So anyway, I appreciate you so much for joining me and chatting with me a little bit about Coach Schloss. And so anytime you go out there and see a billboard or something like that at Reed Arena, you can thank you. Hey, that was Ben that did that.
Welcome to the My Aggie Nation podcast. Thanks for joining us this week. I'm Alex Miller, joined always by Travis Brown. We're at the Eagle office. Big news of the day. Texas A&M has hired TCU's Jim Schlossnagel to be the Aggies' next head baseball coach. Travis, we're going to get right into it. You know, before we look at more at the hire, you know, what's just kind of your initial thoughts of Schloss coming to A&M?
Well, I think an absolute grand slam home run. You know, in my column when I was talking about if they should or shouldn't renew Rob Childress's contract, I said, Rob Childress is a winner. He has gone to 13 straight NCAA tournaments up until this year. And so if you're going to move on from Rob Childress, it needs to be a grand slam home run in the bottom of the ninth at TD Ameritrade Park in Omaha, kind of higher. And I don't think it gets any more of that than this right here. I also have to preface all of this with saying, for the sake of transparency, I was a bullpen catcher at TCU in 2007 under Jim Schlossnagel. So he has been my coach in the past. And so I know what he brings to the table, and it's winning, and it's trips to the College World Series. And that's what A&M fans want from this A&M program.
Winning and going to Omaha were common themes for Schloss up at Fort Worth. You know, some quick facts on Jim Schlossnagel. In 18 seasons at TCU, he tallied the most wins in school history, 693. TCU went to 15 NCAA tournaments, 7 Super Regionals, and most notably, they went to 5 College World Series in 11 years. So, Travis, you know, you said it, you got to play for him back in the day at TCU. You know, what kind of coach is Schloss? What kind of coach is he?
It's been interesting, and it's also to see the evolution of him over those 15 years at TCU. So I was there towards the beginning, and actually I just got off the phone with a guy who was on the team named Keith Conlin back in the day, and we were kind of joking about the fact that when he first started and he was first starting building the program at TCU, he was a hard-nosed coach. I mean, he was wanted a lot of grind, asked a lot of his players, and demanded a lot in a very strict way. As he got older and got more experience at TCU, he kind of turned – he kept the same intensity, and he expected the same amount of grind and the same amount of production out of his players. But he became a little bit more of a player's coach, a little bit more of a guy that you could sit down and talk to and have a chat. And I think that is been all of the difference in where he was and where they've become to now going to 5 College World Series, 4 in a row, through the 2010s. And so you're definitely going to get, regardless of how well how relational he is with the players, it's going to be a hard-nosed coach that demands a whole lot, and really demands darn near perfection on just about every time a player goes out onto the field. So, but the really important thing that I want to emphasize that has been a hallmark of all the TCU teams under Jim Schlossnagel is how mentally tough they are. And that goes back to in the early days when Schlossnagel was first starting at TCU, he brought in a sports psychologist named Brian Kane. And from those early days, Brian Kane worked with the TCU program. He works with a lot of programs around the country, including actually Florida State softball, who's in the College World Series finals right now. But he came in and worked. And so if you go back and watch videos of TCU hitters, just one visual thing you can see is before any TCU hitter went into the box, he would take a deep breath and he'd have his bat in front of him and he would stare at one part of the bat. And what that teaches is having green light thoughts. You're not going to get into that batter's box until you're thinking, I'm going to crush the leather off this ball. And you're going to try to eliminate as many of the fears, doubts, negativity as you can. I think little things like that, having a system, having a training that you can fall back on, is what Brian Kane likes to say, that in high pressure situations, you have training, you have a system to fall back on, that's been the edge for TCU. Go back to 2015, 2016, 2017, the 3 years that TCU eliminated A&M, whether it be in the two super regionals or in the College World Series, and then also add in the Shriners Classic game that went, 14 innings. There were these long marathon games that TCU played with A&M, and no matter what happened in the game, whether TCU was down, whether they were up, they always seemed to just have that fortitude to be able to pull out the run they needed in the end. And that was a huge part of their success. And it was those A&M games and how well they had the ability to come from behind. They had another marathon against Sam Houston State too. Just the ability to, when the pressure mounts the most, I think one of the things TCU fans always point back to too was the 2010 College World Series. They're down by Florida State. I believe it was Matt Coates hits a grand slam towards the end of the game to put them ahead and advance in that first College World Series they went to. Just time after time after time where you can see just really strong mental toughness. And that is the hallmark, I think, of a Jim Schlossnagel team, mental toughness.
You know, you kind of mentioned the history that Schloss had with A&M at TCU. You think about the Super Regionals, you think about the elimination game in Omaha, the super long game into the night down in Houston. I mean, there are a lot of really high stakes, close, intense games. And honestly, at times there was a lot of animosity thinking about some of those games where the atmosphere was just really intense. Is it kind of weird seeing Jim Schlossnagel wearing maroon now, given, I mean, he had kind of been the ultimate Aggie killer on the baseball field for many years.
Well, think of the bizarro world that we're living in now, because not only do you have Jim Schlossnagel at A&M after he knocked A&M out of the Super Regionals College World Series 3 years in a row, just so many of those epic battles. You go back to the 2015 Super Regional when there was the big controversy over A&M fans getting the seats and the TCU 15 mm-hmm. thing. Well, who was the man behind all that? That's Chris Del Conte, who's now the AD at Texas. I mean, just the crazy small world scenarios that have played out now that we're in. I mean, you can even go to the fact that Lucan Baker, A&M's big designated hitter, big hitter guy, he had an aunt that was so closely tied in to the A&M foundation here and had huge A&M ties. And it's Kirk Sarluce, Jim Schlossnagel's assistant coach, that eventually talked him into coming up to TCU. Sarluce is probably the leader in the clubhouse to take the TCU job. So just, I mean, baseball in the state of Texas is so interconnected. Maybe even more so than football or any other sports. And so, yeah, it's going to be weird, but I think that once wins go on the board, wins kind of cure all bad tastes or weird circumstances.
Well, Schloss was brought in to win and win big. That's kind of the goal that A&M has been setting, especially when you let go a guy like Rob Childress, who has done really well. Who did really well over his tenure at A&M. You know, what are kind of the expectations for Jim Schlossnagel at A&M?
Win a game at the College World Series, I think, is the first one. That's just something that Rob Childress wasn't able to do. And if anybody wanted to argue the reasons why they shouldn't have renewed his contract, it was always the fact that he could get them to the College World Series, but he never won a game. And I think that winning a game is going to be important. TCU's advanced to the national semifinals 3 times. And I think that people will look at that resume and that's going to be the expectation that they're probably going to be. He was already one of the highest paid coaches in the country at TCU. So you imagine that's only going to go up in the days to come when they ink that contract here at A&M. So that money is going to go to the fact that they want College World Series wins and eventually a national title. I think we've talked about this on podcast before, that If you want to kind of do a tier system of college baseball, there's a tier one. Those are your Vanderbilts, traditionally your South Carolinas, in the past your Texas, but they haven't really done much recently. Your Floridas, the teams that go to the College World Series and win national, your Oregon States win national championship. That's your tier one schools. And those can fluctuate and move up and down as the years go. But I mean, Vanderbilt, of course, is like kind of the number one on top of what they've been able to do in the last two decades. I think A&M is at a high tier two. They're right below that. They haven't won that national championship. They haven't proven that they can go several years in a row or several years in the span of 5 years to the College World Series. And I think that the expectation is get them into that tier one category, make them one of the top baseball programs in the country. And I think anything short of that is going to be below expectations.
You know, we've seen some big hires here in the major sports the last few years. I mean, no question, Jimbo Fisher was a huge hire. Scott Woodward hired Buzz Williams right before he left for LSU. But this was Ross Bjork's first big hire. You know, how important was it for him to get a guy of Schlossnagel's caliber to kind of in hopes of taking A&M's baseball program to the next level?
I mean, I think that when you look at that first big hire, you wanted to see some fireworks, and this is fireworks. I think it might have been fishing in a barrel a little bit with dynamite because, for every indication, Schlossnagel wanted to take this job, wanted to have a chance to show his mettle in the SEC and kind of get a little bit of a change of scenery. So I think that is I think it was a mutually great hire for both people in that regard. Starting off with a bang for Ross Bjork and what he's been able to do in that hire. Alongside that, I want to throw out another little part to that, and that is I'm going to be actually very interested to see who Jim Schlossnagel hires as assistant coaches, because he, unlike Rob Childress when he was here, and there isn't a good or a bad way to do this, but his system was he was in charge of the pitching. He was the pitching coach and the head coach. He was the guy that went out and did all the mound visits. He managed the bullpen all on him. Schlossnagel, while he does have a pitching background and is a pitching coach by nature, he is more of the CEO, major league level type of head coach. He brings in assistants and allows them to do a lot of the nuanced intricacies with the pitching staff and with the hitters. He's just kind of the overarching CEO, or like I said, major league type manager. It'll be an interesting shift to see that in place in Bluebell, but also who are the head coaches he's going to bring in, because he has quite the coaching tree under him. I mean, most notably Tony Vitello at Tennessee, who's been able to do good things in his few years there. He was an assistant under Schlossnagel in the early teens years, like 11 through 13, I believe. And then before that, you have West Virginia head coach Randy Mazey was his pitching coach during the Jake Arrieta, Andrew Kashner years, did good things with those guys. Todd Whitting at U of H was an assistant in those same years as Randy Mazey. He's more the infield hitter type. He's been able to do good things at the University of Houston. And then more recently, Ryan Schatzberger was a GA at that same time. He's the coach at Incarnate Word. And then you have a player in Steven Trout, who's one of his third basemans in those aught years, who's now the head coach at Texas State. It's just a huge coaching tree that comes out from under Jim Schlossnagel, and the ability, and he's shown proof that he hires good coaches to work under him. I think that'll be a really important and really interesting thing to see moving forward.
For sure. Well, before we go, Travis, I guess kind of the question is, where do you see the A&M baseball program going from here? You know, how quickly do you think A&M can get back to that kind of national prominent level, maybe hosting a regional, having a chance to go to Omaha? And, you know, for the most part, coaching stability has been strong for the A&M baseball team over the last 60 years. I mean, they've only had three coaches in that span. That's not a lot of guys at the helm. You know, could you see Jim Schlossnagel being a guy that has a 15, 20-year tenure before he maybe hangs his hat up and calls it a career?
Sure. And I don't think that you see him going anywhere else because he had a great situation at TCU. That could have been a place that he just played out the rest of his career. But I think he wanted a good shot at the SEC. He has his kids still in town here in Texas. I think that he wanted to stay a little bit closer to them. That's why A&M was so appealing. They're actually juniors at TCU. But I think so. I think that, yes, I mean, he's a guy that if he continues to have success, he'll probably be at A&M for a long time. Interesting thing to look at. So he started his career at UNLV in 2002. First year, they finished fifth in the Mountain West and didn't make the NCAA tournament. But in his second year, they were in the regionals. He didn't miss a College World Series from 2000. He went a decade making, the NCAA tournament every year before they missed it in 2013. That was the first year that TCU moved up to the Big 12. They missed it again in 2008, but every other year they made at least the NCAA tournament, the regionals, and then advanced to plenty other super regionals past there. So he already has, and in his first 2 years at TCU, they were in the regionals. There never was didn't miss a beat there. So I think that the expectation should be and will be that they'll be in the NCAA tournament next year, if not the year after that, and should be back competing for super regionals sooner than you know. The other interesting part about that it's a little bit hard to qualify what next season will look like is the one-time transfer rule that came down this summer that'll allow a player to transfer without sitting out is going to be really interesting here because you don't know how many we don't know how many of A&M's current roster players are going to say, yeah, I want a fresh start and go somewhere else. We don't know how many players that Schlossnagel might bring down from TCU with him or recruit from other places into. This could be a completely different looking roster next season. And so it's hard to say exactly, put a prediction on what next season might look like because not too dissimilar to Buzz Williams and what he's done with the men's basketball team, bringing in so many transfers. We're going to have to see some games and maybe even see some fall practice to get an idea of what things are going to look like around here.
For sure. Well, Travis, thanks for kind of giving us an insight on what Jim Schlossnagel brings to Texas A&M. Everybody tuning in, be sure to follow Travis's coverage at theeagle.com. Schlossnagel will be introduced as A&M's head coach Thursday at 1:30 at Kyle Field. And so we will have plenty of coverage on the hire and everything that goes with that tomorrow and the coming days. And probably more news about hiring assistant coaches and how the roster shakes out. So, cool.
Great. This is the My Aggie Nation podcast. I'm Travis Brown. That's Alex Miller. We'll see you next week.
It seems like every day, everything just has a way it must have seems. But if we don't watch what we're doing, our hearts will get ruined by silly things. Good love ain't easy, girl, we know that's true. If we want to keep it, we got to watch everything that we do, yeah, yeah. I want to make sure my baby, make sure you're sticking with me.